Good evening, everyone. Can we all arise one more time and let's bow our hearts before the Lord? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you in awe of the little that we can even conceive and perceive of the Holy of Holies. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you would bless Martin Dober. May you bless him. We thank you, Lord, for last night's message. We thank you for the theme of the things that we can learn of Jonah. We thank you for the children that were just dismissed. We ask, God, that you would bless them as well. Father, we pray that you would speak to us and prepare our hearts. We thank you for those of us who have been praying for this camp before it started this year. We thank you and praise you for all the hard work and all the volunteers and all the logistics and all the traveling mercies that you've bestowed upon us. And we thank you, Lord, for this evening, this beautiful, beautiful weather, breaking of bread, fellowship. And we ask, God, that you would be with us as we open up the word. And Father, we ask that you would speak to us. Only you know, Lord, where we stand with you. Only you know how many years some of us have walked with you. And we thank you, Lord, that each of us would be edified and encouraged as we walk away only by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I actually, we would have made it last night on time if our plane was on time. And we were on a plane not moving for 4 hours before we had our four-hour flight. And in those 8 hours, I was reading the Bible. And guess which book I read through? Jonah. I'm like, oh, that's fresh. So when I found out that we were going to go through Jonah, I really felt that I was just preaching at my local church, actually, in McKinney, Texas, this Sunday. And it was a message to encourage people in our walk with Jesus Christ. And I want to refer to some of those notes later. But I do want us to read together first and foremost out of Jonah. I don't want to repeat out of Jonah 1, except for touching on the 17th verse, which is the last verse there, and then all of chapter 2, which is only 10 verses. Jonah's a very short book compared to most. And we have it up on screen. I'm going to read it from my phone. We're going to read it from the New King James Version. I want to read this and then open up a little bit of what I feel on my heart to share. I just want to first and foremost say, before we get into the word, it's lovely to be here. Last time I was here was 2010. Prior to that was 03, 22 years ago. And this is my children's and wife's first church camp experience ever. And we're just so thankful that my mother, Dushka, is here as well. And so I want to say thank you to Richard Jenkov, and we've been reminiscing with some of us, with Adam and Jose, just what happened at Upward Bound Youth, and welcome to all the young people here as well in Ohio. We were there and had a wonderful time, and was catching up with the Toast, Michelle and Scott in Brazil. I was able to preach the gospel to about 100 million people in 5 cities, 5 days, all on television, the equivalent to the David Letterman of U.S. in Brazil allowed me to preach the gospel on secular television, and it's been repeated and pushed out with many views, and so we praise God for that. For those of you who don't know me, my roots go very deep in Apostolic Christian Church of the Nazarene. My father, Boris, started the first English-speaking ACC church in Australia in 1982, 9 months before I was born, with my mum. My dad was 27. My mom was younger than him. And we were in Melbourne, Australia. We tried to move the family out to America in 1994. I was 12 years of age. We were with Uncle Bata Vujicic. Uncle Bata Vujicic, my dad, 3 Vujicic brothers fled communism Yugoslavia. They were neighbors in Bela Crkva. 3 houses in a row. 1 Vujicic brother went to Argentina. 1 Vujicic brother went to Australia. That's my grandfather. And then Dedovoja and his family went to California. My parents were not able to get a green card because of their disabled son, basically. That was one of the things that would have to be overcome in that. And we tried LA for 4 months, went back to Australia. And then I was myself in real estate and went out to a boot camp in Phoenix, Arizona in April 2002. Caught up with Chikabata. He said, what do you want to do in your life? I said, I want to reach the whole world for Jesus Christ. And he said, well, come back. Come to Eastern Camp. So I went back, went to Eastern Camp in 02. And we were coming through with some tens of thousands of dollars in my pocket. Because after we went to California, we went to Africa. And we gave $30,000 away to orphans in Africa, me, my brother. And I sponsored 10 children, and Uncle Bata was quite astonished as a 19-year-old who is in real estate, who has that cash, and who gives that cash away. He said, so what do you want to do again? I said, I want to reach the whole world for Jesus Christ. He said, well, you can't do it from Australia. You need to come to California. And so I finished a double major in accounting and financial planning, graduated at 21, and came to America 21 years ago. I've been a citizen for I don't know how long now, and my amazing wife and I, we met 15 minutes from where we now live in McKinney. Our home church is in McKinney, Texas, and we have four beautiful kids, Kyoshi, Dayan, Olivia, and Ellie. And as of 3 years ago, we knew that the Lord would convict us to also adopt a baby, so God willing, we'll be adopting a baby next year. We appreciate your prayers. But we are just so thankful. We miss deeply Boris Vujicic, my father, 8 years ago, and Uncle Bata, 2 years ago plus now, and those were my two pillars of strength of anybody on planet Earth, and so we miss them very much. And I'm now, when I moved out, started a ministry called Nick V Ministries. This is our 20th anniversary. I've been in 84 countries, met 35 presidents, been speaking in front of 3,500 stages, 11 million people face-to-face. The largest one was 800,000. 400,000 gave their life to Jesus Christ in one night, started being in their conviction of the Holy Spirit, their sin, and left their religion of sorts. We've had some incredible rides, some incredible stories. We've even had death threats. And then we found out that they came there to kill me and they gave their life to Jesus Christ instead in the greatest, biggest Muslim nation in the world. And it's been a great ride. I'm 42. I'm humbled. I feel like I've already lived two lifetimes. And I'm very thankful that now with a young family, I'm backing off on the road. I'm going from 65 days away from my family next year down to 21. And we're doing some interesting ways in how to reach more people. I know the Hubers really well. We're in Japan. I'm connecting with Josiah. We actually did an online digital ministry in Japan. There's a billionaire that said to us, let's use your videos and reach people in Japan. So when they actually Google suicide, God, heaven, hell, they get a video of me, and then they give their life to Jesus, and then they find the local church. And it's just amazing with technology and the opportunities that God has bestowed upon us. And I just want to share this with you. There was someone here that shared with me that I was in the Tri-Cities in Michigan, and they couldn't get in. It was packed, thousands of people. And there was a family here who brought their son and their unsaved neighbor. And they've been praying that their unsaved neighbor gets the gospel and gives their life to Jesus. And it happened to be that they were just not able to get in. And then a woman said, hey, you can take my three seats. That person gave their life to Jesus and died 3 years later. There were stories that you have shared with us, and I want you to understand that if we were not in the little steps of obedience, we would not have the blessings of what the Lord has given us. I encourage Richard Jenkov to actually write your story in a book of how the Lord has really molded and shaped and ripened the ministry of Upward Bound Youth. And I'm so excited to come every year to Ohio to work with you. But what I want you to know is this. Do you want to know why I went to Arizona on a boot camp for the real estate? It's because there was a raffle ticket drawn out of 1,400 people, and only one person got that raffle ticket, and it wasn't to the boot camp. It was the raffle ticket winner to the three-day course. I went to the three-day course, met the guy, and he said, "Hey, you want to come to the boot camp?" I said, "Well, I can't spend that much money going." He said, "I'll give you the class for free if you can get yourself there." And then out of all the people that actually stopped and looked at me and said, "Nick, God's going to take you all around the world to be a speaker all around the world. Let me share with you what I feel for you, and let me start your first speech gathering." You'll never believe who it was. The janitor at my high school. So it wasn't for God-fearing people who was at the class, owning the real estate class, and I got, and I mean, there's like a million points of data I can tell you as to what got me here. And it's all the grace of God. I can't tell you more than this in words. If God has a plan for a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then God can use any willing heart. And what I want you to know is God would not have sent me around the world to preach to 914 million people all around the world by age 42 unless I started with the little. And this is tonight's message. What's the run you're racing? So what's the race you're running? I'm dyslexic. I'll share with you one thing before we start. You can ask my mom. Ask her. We had a dog called Seth. We tied the leash to Seth, to my wheelchair. And I took Seth out on walks. And you know, at that time, I knew that the Lord was working in my heart. I said, "God, you rescued me. You saved me. What about the people who don't know you? God, can you show me?" Like, I know, especially young people, you look at me without arms and legs. You know, a lot of people were not my friends because of how I looked. They missed out on a good friendship. And so I realized not to judge anyone by how they looked or how well they smiled to see if they're having a good day or not. We can all hide our pain pretty well. And all of a sudden, I started walking my dog in 2002 as a 19-year-old, and realizing every single person walking by me is absolutely going to hell unless they know Jesus. And I don't know that if I don't tell them about Jesus, who will? And I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. And I don't know if they're going to be here tomorrow. And it's the actual thing that I believe is the biggest disability of all in the church of the Western society, which is complacency. Revelations 1:3, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You know, when you're on that honeymoon period with the first time you give your life to Jesus, you do want to tell other people about Jesus, but then eventually this thing fizzes out. And if you don't grow in faith, you shrink in faith. That's what Scripture says. Same thing for my relationship with my wife. If I don't grow in love with my wife, I will shrink out of love. And so to grow in love with my wife, I ask her and she asks me three questions every month. "Honey, what am I doing that you want me to stop doing? Honey, what am I not doing you want me to start doing? Honey, what am I doing well that you want me to keep on doing?" Same thing with Jesus every day. "Jesus, what am I doing that you want me to stop doing? Jesus, what am I not doing that you want me to start doing? And Jesus, what do you want me to do that I'm continuing to do well?" That's called a relationship. That is more than just praying, "Lord Jesus, bless this food, bless our day, and at night, thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. I hope I wake up tomorrow." That's like me going to my wife and saying, "Good morning, babe. Have a good day." At night, "Hey, babe, how was your day?" "Great. Bye." That's not a relationship. Some of us have this relationship with God because we believe two things, that Sunday at church is enough. It's not. Church should be supplemental in your daily walk with Jesus Christ and reading the Bible. We are the most biblically illiterate generation of our nation today, and we are so divided, it's not funny. And so as we actually go back to the basics, forget about the things on what I think of and what you think of, let's go back to the basics. And the basics are actually shown here in Jonah. There are a people who need the Lord. And I was preaching on Sunday. I said, you're inviting people to church. I said, what if they never come to church? I shared with them that I had a friend that actually had a Japanese student exchange student in their home in Simi Valley, California for 2 years. And every Sunday, do you know what they said to the student? Do you want to come to church? Do you want to come to church? Do you want to come to church? And guess what he said every time? No. For 2 years, do you think he stepped into the church? No. The dude went back to Japan and someone was preaching the gospel on the streets in Tokyo and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And the first thing he did is picked up the phone and called those people in Simi Valley and said, why didn't you tell me? You know what they said? Well, we invited you to church. Who told you that they need to come to church to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, I don't know what to say, Matthew 10:19. Do not be worried about what to say, for it's not you who's speaking, but I through you. Well, I'm not an evangelist. From last time I read the book, you're part of the Great Commission. Last time I read the book, that's what Jesus is waiting for. Are we not groaning and yearning? If you look in Exodus, the one thing that moves God to actually set his people free is their groaning. It's their moaning. It's their groaning. It's their sleeplessness. It's their uncomfortability. That's what moved God. God is moved by our prayers. Angels move when we pray. When we speak, it's not you, but God through you. In you dwells the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world, the Son of the living God, fully man, fully God, and when his body was in the tomb, Jesus wasn't there. Neither did he go to heaven. Where did he go? Anybody know where Jesus went? His body was in the tomb. Where did Jesus go? Hell. What did he do in hell? He had a magnificent speech. And he took two pairs of keys. What keys did he take? He took the keys of death and he took the keys of Hades. Hell itself. Well, I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe that the devil exists. Oh, buddy, I've seen 10-foot tall, 4-foot wide demons walking through a hotel room in California. I've seen exorcisms frothing at the mouth. I've seen demons screaming at me through human beings. I've seen blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, lame people walking crooked, backs come straight. And I even have had a miracle of God in my own back. I've had a syrinx, hollowing of the spine. Ask my mom, she was there. After the MRI, the doctor came up, the Croatian. He said, I got bad news for you. I said, what? He said, you were born with a rare disease. I said, yeah, I know. He said, no, another one. I said, now what's up? He says, you got a syrinx and your back is turning into fluid. We can't change it, can't slow it down. 10 years later, there were not three holes, there were two holes. They waited for 2 months or so to actually give me the report because they couldn't believe it. It was medically impossible. It was a medically impossible thing. And I actually have no holes in my spine. We've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And the bottom line is this, faith and compassion. These are the two biggest disabilities of Jonah. Lack of faith and lack of compassion. If Jonah was weeping over Nineveh as God did, if we really wept, you know when you actually have compassion for someone? Let me tell you what happened in my day. No, when you come and you weep before someone and you say, what happened?
or you know what's happening in their life and you can't understand. It's an automatic compassion. It's not a brain thing. It's a heart thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's an emotional thing. It's something that Jesus was moved. And with compassion, he then moved. The difference of the people who walked on by compared to the Good Samaritan was moved by compassion. If Jonah was actually moved by compassion, he actually would may have had the faith to say, well, God, okay, I am broken for them. So God, I know that it must be done. Why me? Okay, even God, can you not give this to someone else? Does that sound similar to anybody? Have you said that to someone? Sorry, have you said that to Jesus? Guess what? Jesus said the same thing to God. This is the beautiful thing. Jesus knows how it feels that when God calls you to do something and you know it's beyond you, and you ask God, God, why? Please pass it on. But Lord, not my will, your will be done. It is faith and compassion which are the two fuel tanks that Jonah actually needed. I'm going to give you some acronyms. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. My grandfathers were both, my mom's father, my dad's dad were in jail, pacifists, persecuted for their faith. Okay? Unto death we're faithful. Put a gun to my head. Do you believe in Jesus? Sure. I'll rape your wife. Go for it. I'll pray for you. That's what the Nazarenes were known. Do you remember our roots? The military said, okay, if you're not going to shoot me, what if I rape your wife right in front of you? Are you going to kill me then? No, I will forgive you because Jesus tells me to forgive you, and I'll pray for you, and I'll pray for myself to get rid of my anger. It goes back to the basics. Who is Jesus for you? Who is he to you? Are we cruising? Are we okay? Or is there something more that Jesus wants you to say, yes, Lord, I want more of you? Because we could look at Jonah all day long, but what about our neighbor? I don't know how to bring them over. It's called inviting them over for dinner. How do I preach the gospel? Well, first and foremost, invite them to dinner and ask them this. Here's the trick, ready? Hey, what's your story? And don't interrupt them. And don't try to be nice and try to relate to them. If they're talking about their child, don't talk about yours. Just listen. Just listening to someone's pain, that's 50% of the depression of the world. No one listens to them. Then they finish their story and guess what they say to you? Oh, what's your story? And then you're like, well, I never thought you'd ask. And you can share the gospel. You see, Uncle Barty used to say, your history is his story. The Bible says that God has the pen in his hand. He is the author and perfecter of your faith. Hallelujah. I'm breathing. You know what that means? My story ain't done yet. Hallelujah. Don't wait to get married for God to use you. Don't wait to get your life right with God. Don't justify to your own self how you can play around with your girlfriend or your boyfriend until you get married. God has an incredible plan for you, and it's a good plan. And he's writing your story. All things come together for the good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. Romans 8:28. Now, if you don't mind, let's get into the message. Everyone take a deep breath in and out. Ready? Delayed obedience is disobedience. And only you know when it's past it. Grace upon grace. And there is scripture that I just read in Micah. I think it was in Micah, Malachi, where he gives nations sometimes up to four chances. It's amazing. When you look at the things, you think you read what you read, but then you read it again, you're like, oh, wow. It's amazing. So may the Lord convict us here today. Let's read Jonah 1. The subtitle here is Jonah's Prayer and Deliverance.
Now, I'm not going to repeat anything, and I'm sorry. Was it Scott who had the message last night? Sorry I wasn't here. Love you. God bless you. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, can I just point out the biggest word there? Then. You didn't do it before, but I allowed this to happen to you. So does God cause us to go through pain? Now, the Old Testament and the New Testament, we can go through different doctrines here, but can I just say it this way? I don't believe this was God's perfect plan to be born without limbs. Okay? The limb deficiencies that I was born with, sickness, disease, cancer, and Christians die of cancer and car crashes and plane crashes and all. It's because of this curse of sin. Adam and Eve had arms and legs. Does that make sense? He didn't cause me to have a pain or have an accident or have cancer to then say, now will you follow me? No, this is not the Lord's dominion on earth. This is the dominion of the devil. And he is absolutely really good at what he does. He's really good at it. He kills, he steals, and he's a really good destroyer. And for as long as the Lord allows him to go around like a roaring lion, he only mimics the Lion of Judah. He is not a lion, but like a roaring lion, he devours. Okay? And the curse of sin brings me here. Let me just stop here for a second. For those of you who don't know God, you want to know the number one reason why people don't give their life to Jesus? Is because how can a loving God allow hell to happen and hell on earth? And how can a loving God who could do all things not make arms and legs pop out? Well, yeah, he can give me arms and legs, but what's more important, arms and legs for 90 years or my soul saved? Arms and legs or peace in my soul? Arms and legs, it would be great to have both. But what if he actually was going to use this to help someone else? Do you know how many people I've met exactly like me? 30. Do you know how many parents my mother has met now with my dad, encouraging them? Many. Do you know how encouraging that was? Can you encourage another set of parents? Like my parents, if they have, no. But maybe you've gone through something. I've seen a lot. I've met 650 sex slaves. I met the children who were sold by their own mothers for $700 at 4 years old. Talk about pain. But then I see, and I've written out 106 different ways in how the human being can suffer, and guess what every answer is? Jesus Christ. And then I saw that these girls, remember, get this, ready? They found Jesus. They got counseling. They found a job. They saved up money, not for a house, but to go rescue another slave. They are the antithesis of this. Ready? When you don't get a miracle, God can still cause you to be one. What's your disability? Faith and compassion, period. We all have a disability. We all have a story. You've been sexually abused. You can then help someone who's been sexually abused better than I can, because I don't. I don't know what that means. Are you with me, church? Are we breathing? Take a deep breath in. Out. Then, everyone say then. Good. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God in the fish's belly, from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. That's the other reason why people don't give their life to Jesus, because they don't feel God answered them. You hang up on God. Keep seeking the Lord and you will find him, according to Jeremiah 29. He has a plan. Guess what? Ready? You think you need to know the plan that he has for you to get rid of your anger and bitterness so it makes a little bit more sense? If God gave you the plan of exactly every minute, every second, every emotion, every action, everything that's happening tomorrow, where do you need faith tomorrow? The acronym for faith is the replacement of fear, F-A-I-T-H, full assurance in the heart, that despite what you see, despite what you know or don't know, you walk by faith and not by sight. You go despite your disability. You put a G-O in front of the word disabled, it spells God is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask, imagine, or attain. Hallelujah. Awesome. Now I'll read without stopping. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. Did I skip a verse? Are we good? Oh, because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight. Ever felt like God's like a million gazillion miles away from you and turned his back on you? Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Yet I will. So then and then yet. Yet. Despite what I've done, what I feel, where I am. Yet, I will look again towards your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Can you imagine? That's disgusting. He wasn't enjoying any sashimi down there. I went down to the moorings of the mountain, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever, yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Does it ever occur to you, I'm going to stop again. You remember in Exodus, you just think that those people are so stupid? Like they got the worst memory of all. They're worse than a goldfish memory. They just were given manna from above, then they're complaining. Then they're thirsty, and then they're complaining. And then that, right? It's like, do you know what we fail to do? You want more faith? For real? Two things to get faith. Ready? Number one, write out your prayer. You got a problem praying? Write out a paragraph for you. Different things between knowledge, discernment, understanding. Come on, Nick. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and discernment. Four different things for yourself. Same four things for your marriage. Same four things for your wife. Same four things for your boss. Same four things for your neighbor. Same four things for your loved ones. And you actually write it down. I actually wrote out my prayer. If I really sat and thought about it, which took me 3 hours in 2018, my prayer life changed simply because I wrote out everything and I read it over. And you know what the cool thing is? When you have about 110 requests that you actually read and you take time, 25 minutes a day, that's not a tenth of what you're awake 16 hours a day. You know what a tithe is of your day? 1.6 hours, 1 hour and 40. Do you pray for 1 hour 40 a day? We don't. Give it 15 minutes. It's a fraction of a fraction. And the beautiful thing is this, if you actually do this and you actually read the Bible and it only takes 10 minutes to read a chapter, it's the bread of life. It breathes, it speaks. It's amazing. It is the greatest thing to have the word of God in front of you. And we live in a country where you don't get killed for it. It's amazing. I'm addicted to the word of God. I love it. It's where I meet God. You know what the cool thing is when you have 110 requests? Every 21 days on average, I had to stop and edit something. Guess why?
because it came to pass. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And then I changed it. I said, thank you, Lord, that this day you did this. And when I prayed over the prayer, I would remember. Remember those defeats? Set up the stone so we never, ever forget. If you could write out your prayer, number one, and three barren wombs conceived in a year out of the four barren wombs that I prayed for, not because of me, because we prayed and God wanted it. And in my Ask My Wife, I said, in Reed Road in the pool, I saw a rainbow with ovaries, a cloud shaped of ovaries, and God told me someone's pregnant. It's amazing. God speaks, man. It's amazing. Faith is huge, and it's right in front of us. Hallelujah. It's awesome. But this is the warning. Ready? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Remember him. Pray to him. So remember the good that he has done. Do a journal. Not just write out your prayer. Do a journal. If you could just do a journal of the good blessings, go back to it every 12 weeks, your faith will be refilled. And my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What an experience. What an experience. I want to ask you, what is your life story? Is there something that we're not doing that we need to start doing? Is there something that we need to reach out to somebody and say something? I'm not saying get ready for judgment if you don't. His grace is sufficient. He is very patient and is kind, but is faithful, holy, and just. But I now want to encourage you with this following message about running the race. On Boris Vujicic, my dad's gravestone, he has the Timothy, I have fought and run and finished the good race. Fought the right race, that one. I don't remember exactly now what it says, but I want to now have up on screen, let's run through this, Jason. Go, which race are you running? Young people, are you running the race that you're hoping to just get to a point that you're popular with your friends? You say the F word to be cool? That ain't gonna change who you are. Saying a swear word, doing stuff that they do to be accepted. You want to be accepted by the world? It'll only be empty. Come and find out what God has for you. Go, run the race. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27, Apostle Paul, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. It's not about the missionaries. You're the missionary. American missionaries for America. Canadian missionaries for Canada. Hallelujah. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown. What's our imperishable crown? That we are the priests. Seated with the Son of God. We get crowned. Do you know what we get in the crown? Anyone know what you get in the crown? Jewels. How many jewels do you get? Depends how many people actually you've shared the love of Jesus Christ with. Go back to the Old Testament. There's like 20 references of actually the church being the church and actually not being the hands and feet of God. Go visit the widows. Go be with the orphans. Go be with the prison. I think that's our problem. I live in Texas, the seventh largest economy in the world. We have 32 homeless veterans. I don't care who's president. Where's the church? Last 25 years, 22 veterans shot themselves every single day. Still doing it. You know how many foster kids are waiting for us in America, church?
Anyone know? 500,000. You know how many churches we have in America? Take a guess. 500,000. Anyone good at math? Are we waiting for Trump? What are you waiting for? What's your church waiting for? Are we not the church? We've lost all the goodwill. We've seen church growth. Okay? We're so allergic to these things. Church growth versus discipleship growth. Go for both. You can. The jewels in your crown, he counts them. You get them. Therefore, I run thus, Apostle Paul, not with uncertainty. Man, I love it. Doesn't mean that I don't get depressed. I went through counseling in 2021. I needed 10 one-hour sessions in 2021. I had anxiety attacks for 30 days straight. Me and my wife, we've been through a lot, 2019, 2020, 2021. When you stand in front of the gates of hell and redirect traffic, it gets hot. And there are some people, they're Christians, I'm like, how are you doing? Oh, everything's great. Everything's fine. I'm praying for you. I'm like, you're lying. Fake Christian, man. I don't believe him. And if it's true, then I actually challenge him. Like, are you actually standing where God wants you to stand? Because we're not here to be comfortable. This ain't home, man. We have a mission. There's only one thing that you can do on this side of heaven. It's preach the gospel, man. It's to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Hallelujah. It's awesome. Therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air like the world, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You know, there are demonic powers that can't be broken without fasting. Before I met my wife, I fasted. I don't say this to boast. I want you to know, this is a tool. I don't think we use it enough. Next time you have a friend that actually has cancer, try fast for them too. So much scripture about prayer and fasting, we miss it. Spiritual warfare. I'm not saying that all miracles happen, but prayer and fasting is beautiful. Next verse, real quick. Jeremiah should be next. 29 verse 11. I'm going to skip this. You all pretty much know this one. God has a plan. The promise is you'll find him when you search for him with all your heart. Here's the message. Ready? In my last 5 minutes of message. Here's the message. 7 P's. You might want to take a note. 7 P's to walk away with. Ready? Number one, go for it. Praise. I'll never forget weeping at one of my friend's house and just vomiting all the crap in my life. And after I was finished, you know what she said? Praise him. I said, what? She said, praise him. Is he worthy of your praises? Yes, he is. Well, then praise him. Is he bigger than your problem? Yes. Praise him. Is he going to let you go through more than you can handle? No. Praise him. Hallelujah. He is holy. Holy. The four creatures, 24 elders, 24 on each throne, 24 thrones, 24 elders. It is like hugely, thickly, very far beyond our comprehension who God is. And Dauber, you did an incredible message this morning. Holy, holy, holy. You are worthy. I die of cancer. I praise you because I go home. If I get arms and legs, I praise you. I have a pair of shoes in my closet in case he says yes. And if you don't, throw us in the fire. We will not bow down to your idols. God will allow us to go into the fire and not be burnt. And even if he does and we die, it's good. It's all good. We're going home. Praise him. Amen. Next.
prayer, fasting, war for truth. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And let the peace of God that surpasses your understanding, you're not supposed to understand the peace. It's the fact. It's the fact that you don't understand the situation and you can't even understand how you can get peace when you don't understand. It's called faith. But in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and let the peace of God that surpasses understanding guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Next, patience. I hate this one, love this one. Hate this one, love this one. When you read in Revelations, there are, I think, 7 references of this thing called patient endurance. It's not patience and endurance. It's patient endurance. It's when you're waiting for something and it doesn't annoy you. Oh, Lord, give me patience. And you're waiting in an ATM for eight minutes and you're like, God, why are you making me wait? You just asked him to give you an opportunity to exercise patience. If you want a big bicep, you have to actually give it resistance. If you don't give resistance to exercise the muscle of patience, you ain't going to be patient. That's why old people are more patient. You've had 80 more years of practice of realizing you can't control much. I love it. So jealous of some of you gray-haired, balding people. You're closer to heaven than I am. Can't wait to go home. Not going to read it because it's a repetitious verse coming up later. Patience, next. But yeah. Persistence, man. Keep humble. Micah 6:8 is coming up there. It should be up there later, but to love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly with thy God. Nick, 25 years ago, you started preaching the gospel. True. I have. Nick, you've seen 1.8 million people give their life to Jesus Christ. True. Nick, I had no idea that you had a potential $8 million lawsuit and a grenade at your house and a bank kicked you out as their customer and you got canceled out of American corporate world because you were framed as a conservative Christian and you had a spying drone over your house. How did you get through that fire? One day at a time, with crying, with groaning, with some depression, but together with my wife. It's very hard. Don't compare your suffering to mine. I believe it's worse being in a broken home than having no limbs. Brokenness is brokenness, but hope is hope. Persist in your search for more faith and more compassion for the lost. That's it. Persist. Keep going. And that verse was really badly out of context in America. You can achieve anything through Christ that strengthens you. No, I can endure starvation. I can endure homelessness. That's what Apostle Paul's saying. You can endure it, persist. His grace is sufficient. 3 times. 1 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient. I'm not going to take the thorn from your side, even though Apostle Paul, you asked me 3 times. I'm not going to do it. My grace is sufficient. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Which one is that? Don't worry about that one. That's just a supplemental one. We don't have time. Preparation. So James 1:25. I'm going to end with this one and then fly through the next. Brethren, count all joy, yeah, right, when you go through various trials, but just pause and say, yes, God. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work in you that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Don't you want to be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing? It's got nothing to do with your house or arms and legs. It's actually patience. It's being held in the peace of God, period. And let him ask of, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to him liberally without reproach and it will be given to him. Preparate. He's preparing you for whatever's ahead. Next. This is it. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. That's a sermon in that one. But if the sink is shipping, if the ship is sinking, I told you, and you're on a life raft, and you're on a life raft, and people are crying, they're drowning, wouldn't you? He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Next, last thing, the seventh P, praise him again, with thanksgiving. Verse 14, you are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Who is so great as our God? I will talk of your deeds. What has God done for you? Have you written a story for your great-great-grandkids that you'll never meet? Who were you before Jesus came into your life? And what happened after? I think there is a story to be said, and I'm sorry I went maybe a couple minutes over time, but which I think I'm right on time. Shelley, can you just play just some, thank you. I want to take 3 more minutes. Can I take 3 more minutes, church? Thanks. I want you to just change a different posture in your seat. I want you to close your eyes. I want to ask you, what is it that the Holy Spirit's telling you? Just ask him. What is it that he wants you to start doing? He'll tell you. What is it that he wants you to stop doing? He'll tell you. And what is it that he just loves that you do, that he wants you to keep on doing well? Just thank him right now in your heart. Thank him for the blessings. Thank him for your life. Thank him that even though there are difficult times, that he's bigger than it all. He can change any heart. He hears your prayers. He sees your deeds. And maybe tonight, you're like, you know what? I came to this camp, and I love this God stuff, but you know what? There's something here tonight that spoke to me. And if you have never given your life to Jesus, tonight you can talk to him. Tonight you can pray with someone. We'd love to talk to you. Don't listen to the lies of the devil saying you're not good enough. You need to be better before you come to Jesus. You come to him now and you say, I surrender all. I want to know your God. I want to know your plans. I want to know your strength. I don't want my plan. I don't want my strength. Forgive me of my sin. I want to know you. In your heart, would you say, God, I am a sinner.
And I believe, Jesus, you died for my sins. And I know I'll never be perfect, but I surrender my life to you. Show me your plan. Teach me how to pray. And show me how to live. When I fall, pick me up and give me faith to believe you're with me and you'll never leave me. I repent of my sin. I do not want to sin anymore. So help me, God, to live a life that pleases you. Comfort me and show me your ways one day at a time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.